Welcome to A Gram of Hope. I'm your host, C. Jerome Graham. And in today's episode, we're speaking with the new executive director of the Area Office on Aging. And if you're not familiar with the Lucas County Area Office on Aging, they serve over 40,000 older adults, our grandparents, in this case, our great-grandparents, since people are living so long. And it's a huge responsibility for anyone. And fortunately, well, Mr. Moore knows his way around the building. And so that helps. He didn't have to spend the first 3 months just figuring out where everything was and which floor it was on. He was ready to go. And it has not been easy. It's been challenging. But you know, he was prepared for the challenge because, quite frankly, he has a heart for people. And when you love people, when you care about people, that makes you an extraordinary servant. And what we're going to talk about today are the people that influenced his character. Justin, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jerome. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Now, when you saw 40,000, that didn't bother you because you were already part of the Area Office on Aging, right?
Yeah, I've had the privilege of working with our longtime founder and president CEO, my predecessor, Mrs. Billy Johnson. She's definitely helped me and helping the agency, giving me opportunities for helping the agency grow to meet the growing demands of the older adult population or those age 60 and better in Northwest Ohio.
When you came on board, we were already into the age of technology. But how have you had to modify the operation since you've been there? Because when you came on board, no one, and correct me if I'm wrong, no one was addressing artificial intelligence. Now, we had people who their intelligence seemed like it was artificial. But now it's our lifestyle. How have you had to adjust, especially dealing with an aging population?
Yeah, so I think that we're very sensitive of holding in tension with one another, those that prefer the high touch kind of approach and those that prefer the high tech approach. So we really hold those two in tension with one another. If people want to reach out to us and via our website or via Facebook or whatever the case might be, we're happy to help answer their needs, connect them to programs and services and information that way. If they would prefer to, you know, call us or stop by our office to get help, we meet them where they're at and help them however they want to be helped. So,
you had the influence of your grandparents, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more extensively later in the conversation, but certainly that helped you to understand how you have to have a lot of patience with seniors. I recall in one of my other professions, it was radio, and we were just getting into computers, and we had an older worker who would kick the cord out of the plug and tell everyone that the computer kept breaking down. And they'd come back in, plug it back in, and say, try it now. How have you had to adjust, or has the influence of your grandparents and having to listen to them talk, see how they had to adjust to life, how has that influenced you in guiding seniors who now have to use a cell phone? It threw me off when the phone I started using was completely square and flat as opposed to being curved.
Right. So, I mean, my grandpa was using computers before I was using computers. So he's somebody who is an early adopter of computers and technology. He's somebody who really had no issues with, using email or whatever the case might be. He was very comfortable in technology. My grandma was the opposite, right, that she did not use technology. And this is going back in the 80s and 90s. So for me, I'm used to living in both of those worlds, right? With people, interacting with people that are comfortable with technology, interacting with people that are not comfortable with technology. At the Area Office on Aging, we really try to set individuals up for success wherever they're at. So if individuals don't use technology, but are feeling more and more kind of excluded from, you know, connecting with different benefits or connecting with their kids and, you know, what they're up to and looking at their pictures on social media, all that kind of stuff, we want to find out what the barriers are to them getting more engaged with technology and crossing that digital divide. So, for example, we contract with individuals in the past to give them tablets if they did not have technology that are really designed with beginning users in mind. We've contracted with different individuals who are meeting one-on-one with individuals and doing device advice kind of deal. So I got a new cell phone, a smartphone for Christmas. My kids got me. I have no idea what to do with it. You know, just helping individuals with whatever it is that they're most interested in. Because if you find out what they're most interested in, it becomes a lot more relevant to them, number one, and it is something where they don't necessarily feel as intimidated about it. They are motivated to want to use the technology for their intended use.
When I was growing up, and there's a little bit of age difference between us, mm-hmm. not much, but there's a little bit of age difference. People really didn't hang out with seniors. When someone got to be a certain age, you would move on. Now, as you aged, mm-hmm. you begin to realize and recognize the value of their wisdom, the value of their experiences. However, until you got to that point in life, you really didn't see it. You'd rather hang out with your friends. Have you been able to reach out to younger people and bring them in to interact with the population that Area Office on Aging serves?
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of the really exciting things over the last several years is seeing four different generations really operating within one organization, right? There's all kinds of cultural differences within those generations, but we're really finding ways for individuals in those different generations to have their strengths be shared with other generations, right? So that it is kind of a melting pot, if you will, of a workplace where people of all ages are celebrated, you know, that we're not meeting people with, you know, trying to pigeonhole them in a certain stereotype based on their generation, but we're getting to know them as individuals, what their strengths, what their, you know, challenges are, and really try to form some relationships that are more mentorship and mentee related, right? And that is a bi-directional kind of relationship. It's not just where the older person is, you know, doing all the mentoring of the younger person, but there's things that the younger person is mentoring the older worker about. Maybe it's technology, maybe it's about you know, professional business attire, whatever the case might be, right? That there's I think a greater appreciation for people of all ages when we encounter one another as individuals first and foremost, get to know one another, and also find ways to play to each other's strengths.
I was looking for a job when I got out of high school. And of course, I wanted an office job making $45,000, which would have been good money back at that period. And I put on my tie and I went to a gas station. And the gas station guy hired me. And he said the reason he hired me was because I came in with a tie. It was not the desk job. It was not the $45,000 a year job. But just wearing a tie made a difference. You mentioned mentoring. Mm-hmm. Do the younger people embrace the conversations and the experiences of the older people in such a way that it might separate you out from the rest of your buddies or whoever you hang out with and open up a door that you didn't know would open had it not been for the conversation you had with a senior?
Yeah, I think that as a general rule of thumb, my experience has been that individuals of the younger generations welcome the mentorship, especially if it's done with an approach of humility, right? Not this, I'm older, therefore I know everything and you know nothing, but in a way that's respecting the positives that both are bringing to the table. So, for example, there's many individuals that are older at our office, older kind of workers that are certainly role models when it comes to punctuality for meetings, role models when it comes to professional dress attire, role models in terms of work ethic and the like. And there's individuals that, you know, so they will share freely. there's individuals that those same individuals that might not be as sophisticated in some other areas. Maybe technology is one of them, right? And there's a great thing that happens when people are, number one, humble about their approach, and number two, where they can be vulnerable about what their challenges are, right? Both what they have to share in terms of positives with others, but as well as about some of their challenges or what some areas they like more training in and the like. So when we're creating, that's the culture that we're trying to create at the Area Office on Aging, is really a culture where individuals can have candid conversations, be respectful with one another. And at the end of the day, I believe that we are a stronger organization because of that team atmosphere that we are developing. So we are not one that, using a sports analogy, that is kind of like golf, right? Where everybody just goes off and does their own thing and comes back at the end and tallies up their score. We are more dynamic in the way that we depend on one another, like a basketball team, right? That we realize that it's not an all-star kind of team where everybody's just off showboating or whatever, but we are one that really needs the other to help us and doing what we do better, because at the end of the day, it's the older adults that we are called to serve that benefit when we take that approach.
We've evolved into an age, a time where communication and conversation are not mutual. Mm-hmm. People will sit in the same room, communicate with each other, and never look up from their respective cell phones. Mm-hmm. You could have a three-way conversation taking place in the same space. Who was the biggest influencer for you? Because you've got to be able to conversate and communicate on a myriad of levels because you have such a diverse population of employees. Mm-hmm. And they all have skills, they all have gifts, and you've got to bring all of that together as a unified body to meet the mission statement of the Area Office on Aging. Who contributed most to your ability to negotiate and navigate that communicative structure, your grandparents or your parents?
Yeah, so my dad is probably the one that's influenced that the most. He's by nature an optimist. I think he comes from an optimist. There used to be an optimist club in town, I was told, and my granddad was a member of that. So my dad is one who always is looking for the best in individuals, right? And he's always trying to give people the benefit of the doubt. He does it with a caring heart and the like. So I think that, you know, my experience has been that he's role modeled that for me, and that that's resulted in people of all different socioeconomic positions, positional power, you know, what the world would look at as being somebody that doesn't have a lot of positional power, meeting them all the same with respect, with you know, realizing they have something good to share and the like. And that's been something that is core of my beliefs, right? That we all are all inherently individuals that are worthy of respect, that are wonderfully made and created, and have tremendous value to share with me and the rest of this world.
Yeah, there's an old Bible scripture that says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to having someone who can help move my company forward, mm-hmm. who can help me run my business, have you found that to be substantiated when it comes to older people and their contribution to a work ethic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that work ethic is something that I learned very strongly from my dad, you know, very hard worker, but, you know, realizing that, not taking to the extreme, because there's a happy medium to be found with just about anything, right?
Sure.
That there's still life outside of work, right? That family is important, that volunteering is important, giving back to the community, so on and so forth is important. So for me, what was role model for me growing up is that a man is somebody who, yes, you know, loves God, and church is important, that also, you know, work is important, family is important, and giving back to the community in a greater sense above and beyond those other areas is important. So, you know, for me, balance has never been about, you know, a lot of times people talk about work-life balance, and they talk about, in a teeter-totter kind of way, right? That you have to hold it real steady here. And that's really hard to do, has been my experience. What's been helpful for me is somebody used the analogy or the visual of balance, and that the same way that a conductor of an orchestra finds balance, right? That at certain times, there's going to be more of an emphasis on one section than another, right? But overall, they need to balance out, right? So for me, that's really helpful because, you know, certain times a year are going to be require more attention in one area of my life than another area. But having that longer term view of at the end of the day, it's all going to balance out, right?
We are going through something at the time of this recording with our future economy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of layoffs are mm-hmm. going to be taking place. You deal with a population that may have been laid off two or three times. Mm-hmm. Have you had occasion to speak to any one of them or heard anyone talk? You know, I went out to Mr. Smith's house and he was talking about the good old days. But listening to what people said or shared on how they got through the change in economy, because yes, layoffs can be unnerving. They can be unsettling, but they're not the end. So have you had occasion, or maybe even in your, how long did you say your grandfather lived?
So my grandparents lived to be in their late 80s. My great-grandfather, who's a huge figure in my life as well, lived to be 104.
Your great-grandfather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he definitely saw some things.
Right.
And did you ever have any occasion to talk to him? Because he would have lived through a couple of economic downturns. Mm-hmm. And he lived to be 104, so he made it.
Yeah.
Did you have occasion to speak to him and get any wisdom or any encouragement from him?
I mean, so just the grittiness and the pushing through the toughness is something that I definitely heard stories about from him. So for example, he was in World War I as a soldier, and his job was to take messages, hard copy kind of messages, and then run them to another commander in a different area. Sounds like a interesting job. The challenge was that he had severe asthma. So when, you know, trying to run through the gunshots and all that kind of stuff, it was not ideal. He ran through it where, according to him, he lost his asthma, right? By just running through, by pushing through and continuing to run, he managed to no longer have asthma. For him and his generation, it was much more common for there to be more stability in the workforce, right? It was not uncommon for individuals to start with one employer and retire from that same employer. So he didn't have that same, you know, being laid off frequently kind of thing with the economy being the way it was. He was really blessed to have pretty consistent employment throughout his working life. I think one of the things that many people age 60 and better are facing now is age discrimination, unfortunately, in the workforce, that they are on the sidelines, if you will, either listed as being unemployed or not looking for work because of frustrations that they've encountered with either they're being forced out of long-time jobs because of age discrimination. So half of older adults report that they've been forced out of long-time jobs. 90% of them never earn as much again in a job. And then, so there's half of older adults have gone through that workplace trauma of being forced out of long-time jobs. But then they share that trauma with others and that frustration. So it influences the perception of many other older adults who haven't faced that trauma themselves. So actually 75% of older workers say that they perceive age discrimination as a barrier to getting a job. So I believe that there's many older adults out there that need to work, that want to work, and are so frustrated because of that age discrimination, they just feel like they're beating their head against the wall, that eventually they just throw in the towel on looking for a job. So for many individuals that are employers and are looking for workers, I believe that older adults are actually the solution to a significant portion of our workforce issues in this community. If we just give them a chance and if we just invest in them with giving them whatever training they might need to be a good fit for that job.
And do you have training programs inside the Area Office on Aging?
We have, there's a program called Pathstone that does some of this kind of work with employment training. They do a great job. The challenge, though, is that program is designed primarily for individuals that are low income and looking for kind of entry level jobs or kind of lower paying jobs. So we're in conversations with them. We're in conversations with Lucas County. We're in conversations with University of Toledo and some other to really kick off older adult employment week in the second week of March by having an older adult workforce summit, where we're really addressing some of the pain points that we're identifying. Because right now we're serving older adults about workforce issues. What are some of the barriers they're encountering to get in the workforce or remain in the workforce? And we're also serving employers right now to understand whether or not they want to employ more older workers. And if so, what some barriers that they're encountering in trying to employ more older workers. We're using the results of those surveys to really drive the solutions that are going to be unveiled at this Older Adult Workforce Summit in the second week of March. So we're looking forward to that being a real public kickoff of what we believe is going to be a best practice that we're developing here locally that can be shared statewide as well as nationally to address this issue.
Look forward to that, because that's going to help. And a lot of people, well, we're an aging population, and that's going to benefit so many. Now, I'm going to ask you something about the Surgeon General and loneliness being a chronic disease here shortly, but tell people how they can get in touch with the Area Office on Aging.
So people can contact the Area Office on Aging either by giving us a call at 419-382-0624. That number again, 419-382-0624. Or by contacting us on our website at areaofficeonaging.com. Again, areaofficeonaging.com. And for those who are on social media, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X, so on and so forth, where our handle is Toledo Aging. So facebook.com/Toledo Aging, x.com/Toledo Aging, instagram.com/Toledo Aging.
Well, just Google it.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, there, there's, I mean, your web page is just a cornucopia of information and resources. So people really should just take out some time and just sit down and navigate and look at everything that's on there. They may be pleasantly surprised that there's something that could trigger a thought or a desire. You know, somebody may have wanted to do something and just for some reason wasn't getting it done, and then they see something on the Area Office on Aging webpage. Oh, I was going to do this. They can call you guys and get it done. Now, as we're recording this, we're into the giving / holiday season, November and December. And the Surgeon General has addressed loneliness as now, I believe, being a chronic disease, because it negatively impacts people mentally, emotionally, and physically. What are you guys doing as the Area Office on Aging to help meet that challenge?
Right. So a recent study showed that those that self-report as being lonely, it negatively impacts their health, equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So that is something that is getting individuals to realize the importance of socialization in a new way that before they might have just kind of poo-pooed as being the soft kind of warm fuzzy issue. This is something that's impacting people's health, it's impacting their well-being, and it's impacting their longevity. So in many ways, we're talking about helping individuals get socially fit, right? We care about our physical fitness. We need to care about our social fitness as well. And 1 out of 4 individuals do self-report as being lonely in terms of older adults in Northwest Ohio. So we are looking at every program, every service that we either do directly or our 190 different provider organizations, such as senior centers, home delivered meal providers, home health agencies, so on and so forth, provide, and saying to ourselves, for those services that do not have a natural socialization component to them, let's say, for example, home-delivered meals, what can we do to add some socialization component to that? So many of our counterparts across the nation are going with whatever the cheapest meal is. The cheapest meal is having UPS drop off a 2 weeks' worth of frozen meals, ring the doorbell, leave. What's missing, though, and the reason why we still invest, even though it costs more for a hot daily home-delivered meal, is that, number one, you get some socialization oftentimes as part of that. For many older adults that are receiving those home-delivered meals, that home-delivered meal driver is the only person they see that day. Secondly, it allows that individual to do a safety check, right? To make sure they didn't fall and are laying inside waiting for somebody to find them, right? So, you know, that's one thing is those services that by their very nature don't necessarily have a natural socialization component built into it. How do we go about enhancing that service by adding a socialization component to it, such as a hot home, daily home delivered meal? The second is for services that have some kind of socialization component already naturally a part of them. So for example, I'm thinking of a partnership we have with Toledo Police Department where we are having volunteers get trained by the Toledo Department that are age 55 and better.
Is it RSVP?
Yeah, RSVP Patrol. That program is visiting older adults in pairs that are lonely and or have security kind of concerns weekly for about 15 minutes a day, primarily just giving them some socialization and the like. That program has socialization built into it. So what can we do to enhance that socialization some way? Well, one thing is sending them a birthday card. Many of the individuals that they get visited say that that's the only birthday card they got on their birthday, right? So on those days that are supposed to be celebratory, whether it be a birthday, whether it be a holiday, how can we go about making sure that we give them some kind of, you know, personal contact on that day, right? So that they are not depressed on that day that should be celebratory.
Well, it's been great talking to you, man. We're reaching the end of this. Any last thoughts that you want to share as we're moving forward?
Just that if individuals, if your listeners are, you know, age 60 and better, or they're, you know, caring for or helping care for an aging loved one, whatever category they're in, we want to help them do it better and longer. So at the Area Office on Aging, we do have a podcast with WGT as well called Better and Longer that's geared toward helping them get connected with the different resources that are available to helping them figure out the different ways that they can live better and longer wherever they're at. Because at the end of the day, we are not the Area Office on Aged, right? This segment of one small kind of segment of the population. We are the Area Office on Aging, right? That we realize that this is a process we're all going through from the moment we start our lives. And a lot of times how we go about doing it better and longer is determined by those decisions we're making earlier in our life, right? So we want to help individuals with living better and longer, regardless of where they're at.
Look, if you have lived to see the ripe old age of life, you're not a senior, you're just seasoned. And sometimes you just need the right enhancement. You're still significant, you're still relevant, you still have a mind. Somebody wants to hear what you have to say and recognize who you are. So reach out. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate
you. Appreciate you.
I want to thank Mr. Moore for being our guest on today's show. I'm your host and producer, Jerome Graham. Our executive producer is Mr. Chris Piper. If you have any questions, comments, or just want to listen again, go to WGTE.org, Hope, or wherever you stream your podcast.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.